Welcome to The Buzz. I'm Christopher Conover. This week, our Copper Corridor road trip continues with a stop in its largest city. The Copper Corridor got its name from the area's rich history of mineral extraction. In its heyday, the center of that operation was the city of Globe. It was the end of a popular rail line from the East Coast, and its status as the county seat for Gila County led to it being more metropolitan than the company towns and mining communities that filled the area. We're on a walking tour of historic downtown Globe, and our tour guide is Molly Cornwell. She's the manager of the Globe Downtown Association.
If you shut the door, it'll...
We meet up with her at the train depot where those riding that rail line would arrive.
So the beauty of Globe, or the drawback, was we're in the mountains, so we were the end of the line. So they had to figure out a way to get people off the train and then get them to Tucson, Phoenix, or wherever to continue on to LA or the opposite direction. So they would market it as, you know, come see our Native American culture and come maybe see a horse and, you know, those things. A lot of people would get here in the early day and they would just be here going on their way to LA or wherever. We hear tons of stories of this, and they were staying the night and then going to get on the buses or other travel, and they would just fall in love with Globe and they never left.
The train was integral to the expansion of Globe.
Oh, absolutely.
But most people don't think about the train.
Uh-huh.
When you think about Globe, you think about copper. This is where all the big copper companies were located, which is why Globe became the county seat for Gila County.
Yeah, and we still are. But so we still have all of our county services and the county courthouse and everything here. But this was really where it was all happening. And this part, this section of town was more the respected section of town. You had your blacksmiths and your farriers and all of that going on. The architecture of the buildings, all the old preserved adobe and things like that.
It's bigger than a lot of the other towns. We've been in San Manuel. We've been in some of the others, and Globe is a proper city comparatively in the Copper Corridor.
Absolutely.
To some of the others.
We rank on the walkability scale with San Francisco, and we get a good kick out of that. But if you think of the things you would need where you wouldn't need a car, you know, we have banking, we have everything. I mean, even the movie theater, we have the coffee shops, we have a grocery store within walking distance, we have lawyer services, anything you could possibly think of, accountants, on and on and on. We qualify for all of that, even though it's this teeny little town, you know. This is almost the town square section, even though it's because, money, the courthouse.
That's an old courthouse.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
It is beautiful. Yeah, if you were going to picture an old courthouse, what it would look like, this is it, with the big brick.
And the stairs that just force your brain to know that you are going up to the higher power. It's planned respect as you make your way to the top, right? But this corner was also, like behind you here, we have the old Hamel building. This whole section of town was the first all to start being built after the great fires on the other end of town. This building here had, you know, your typical soda fountain, so the old scale is still in there. And this law office in particular is the one of my other half now, but it's been a continuously operating law office since it was built. And the first occupant was Colonel Herring, who was Wyatt Earp's attorney during the OK Corral. Incident, shall we call it. And they kind of had to get out of town, which was smart after all that, right? So they came here. His daughter is well known in Tombstone for being the first school teacher, and you know, there's things all about her. But she ended up, her brother had passed away, and then her father passed away, and they had all the mine contracts. So she actually took the bar passed. She was one of the first in women for the state to do so many things. And then she really was the first woman to try a case in the U.S. Supreme Court without a male escort. And think of the territory. It was rough and tumble. Women had to survive. It was just part of it. You just keep picking yourself up and moving.
Well, she grew up in the town of Tombstone, that they say is the town too tough to die.
That is absolutely true.
It also amazes me that here we are. We're a long way from Tombstone, yet the OK Corral still casts a shadow
the way to Globe. Absolutely, absolutely. We have Clantons in our cemetery. Mm. We have Doc Holliday's girlfriend. Every time they would get in a major fight, she would come back here. So she's run a few boarding houses in town.
That's a nice way to say that.
Yes. Let's just peek in this building and walk those grand steps
walk
to start.
Walk up these grand steps.
And then I'll take you on the side tour, Jill, just to show the connectivity. So we had a previous courthouse on this site, and that's more of the courthouse when you look at records where Geronimo and Billy the Kid and Apache Kid, Pearl Heart, you know, all of the somewhat famous...
Infamous, at the very least.
Yes, maybe that's even just betterly put. Just leave it at that one word. Then that courthouse was taken down and this was brought in. Hi.
And small, steep steps.
I know, right? So all of this was designed for the next phase because, again, Globe had money and the territory was changing. This was put in and opened 1906, but look at the architecture. The copper banisters we found under there was all original. And then you had to keep going up and up and up, and then you were in the courtroom. You were in the judge's lair, right?
And now it's an art center.
It is, and it's an art center, art gallery. And the third floor is a theater art, so the courthouse has been changed into a playhouse.
Well, some people would say courtrooms are theater anyway
they
at
are
times.
Absolutely
so, not that big a change.
Exactly. We're filming a movie right now based on incidents that happened here. The last two hangings, and we've got the nooses and just researching and where it took them into the statehood versus the territory and Governor Hunt, who was our governor and then became the first governor of the state. Knew all of the shenanigans that were happening here, so there were some decisions in that. But all that being said is one of the lawyers in that case was all about theatrics. So he'd throw himself on the floor, and so the actor portraying that is having a ball, and it's all the words are actually from that, and the actions are from that court case, so that's been kind of fun for us to watch.
It really sounds like Globe stays true to itself, yet continues to reinvent itself between trains and copper and art galleries and restored buildings, but it stays true to itself while modernizing and changing all at
right.
the same time.
Isn't that true of the territory, though? That you just have to keep moving. Yeah, if something hits you, just get up and keep moving. And the beauty with technology and the internet and all of those things, it allows people that had to go away for work. You know, it was where everybody stayed in place and worked, and then now people flee small towns. The kids are, I think they're taught maybe in third grade that you must leave town as fast as you can. And some come back, and we're so thankful. But trying to get people to, the kids to realize there's so much locally, not just out of town. But if we can't, have the infrastructure and all the rest, which the state is actually investing, finally, in a lot of that, just keeping that going, it's better for everybody, and there is more quality of life in a smaller community, depending on what you deem your quality of life is. We could keep moving this way, and then we don't hear all the kids practicing for their SpongeBob production.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of having a multi-purpose facility and being able to keep it going as well, and you have all these different things happening at the same time. So we have the quilters groups and the painters, and we have belly dance classes. You know how that goes.
All those things.
I obviously don't partake in the belly dance classes, but I probably could use to. It's available. I'm not saying I always do it all.
In the building's basement is an area that's closed on this particular day. In the dark and using our cell phone flashlights, we see a case dedicated to perhaps Globe's most well-known daughter, Rose Mofford, the first female governor in Arizona.
The picture in the upper right with the Milwaukee Brewers coach, that's, I think, the way most people picture Rose Mofford, but
with her
beehive, but now we have her as a very young little girl on a pony and
Yeah, look at the
young woman. And,
Ev Meekum, I believe, is in there. And then this down here is the Pope. She's meeting the Pope. And there's one of her meeting Mother Teresa somewhere. Might be in the other display.
Well, we're doing it by flashlight. I know. So.
But the beauty is everybody in Arizona loved her. She never ran for governor. She was just in the right place at the right time to take care of things and keep Arizona stable in a time that it really needed it. They were things that were gifted to her out of love offerings and a lot of...
A lot of basketry, native basketry.
Stunning. And the pottery, if you look down here, it's archival. It's just... It's kind of rare to see tribes embrace a political figure that is not of their own as well. And at the time, because she was from here, she knew them all. She went to school. She lived in the area. They just loved her.
Like and you as said, she's a globe girl.
Oh, she said that all the time. And she was fun. She remembered everyone's name, and she would like make bobbleheads of herself and all these things. She was just great. And behind you is Rupert. She loved Rupert.
Oh, that's a big rattlesnake.
That is a very big stuffed rattlesnake. Very rules. It scared the crap out of people, but she kept it at the entryway of her museum for the shock value. That was just very Rose. She loved that. But the tribes, when they come to visit us, we cover it because that's out of respect. Yeah, so the original jail, or I should say the second jail, was down behind Rose Mumford's area. So that would have been where they housed all the prisoners. They were trying to get rid of the vigilante times, right?
Yes, we like now to talk about the OK Corral, but we really,
no,
it
we
wasn't
need,
such a good idea.
Yeah. The thing. So part of the idea of this, they ran out of room almost immediately when they got this one built. And Sheriff Thompson of the time wanted to get people to swift justice, because if you think about the territory, you could be in jail for months and months and months before the judge came through.
Right.
Globe was swifter than most, but it wasn't still great. So the idea was to have a secure facility where the townspeople couldn't make their own decision. This was designed of state-of-the-art concrete, materials that weren't being used yet, really, in this area. And there's a catwalk, which we kind of tease as like walk the plank. But to Sheriff Thompson, it meant guilty or not guilty, I'm going to keep you alive till the jury says what your fate is. So really it's to keep the crowd from being able to get them. Think of the traffic that would have been through here, and then this high building here, and you were trapped in a cage for 6 months. And they were literally cages. They were salvaged, so a lot of the cages are late 1800s. And they just kept salvaging them for place. And we found a series of newspaper articles that they were supposed to go to Yuma Territorial Prison for an expansion, but they closed that in 1909. So we don't know by paper trail where these salvage cells came from, but it's kind of creepy.
As we arrived at the famed 1910 Gila County Jail, we're greeted by tour guide Eli Webb.
A man visit who was here in the very last days of the jail and got transferred to the other one.
Oh.
Came in to look at some of his old tags.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And I couldn't find a Sharpie. I was going to have him sign it, but I couldn't find a Sharpie.
We just had someone else from that same time we've been taught. Beauty of Facebook. We meet a lot of inmates. Or they come to show their family where they lived. And usually it's like, oh, what were you in for?
That's kind of amazing, people coming to visit the jail they were held in. You
right?
know, you
and
wouldn't
they couldn't.
You wouldn't think of that.
Yeah.
Weird, macabre things. And it is funny. Everyone that comes in here, 9 out of 10 times, is like, "What? You'll never guess what I was booked for. Possession. How'd you know?"
So yeah, this opened in 1910. Think of county. County, you weren't sentenced yet. You
no.
were waiting. So all the guys in here, it's worse because you're mixed with repeat offenders. You're mixed with murderers. You're mixed with, you know, any type of, you know, offender that you can imagine. Plus juveniles that maybe had a bag of pot.
We had people in here for hardened gang violence, right? Like there was a murder charge. But this was also the local drunk tank.
Mm-hmm. To have a facility like this that kept you to get to see the judge, to make in the jury, to make that decision was a huge thing in the territory. And then they would ship you to Florence or wherever, depending on what you had done. But
the prostitution permit.
I know.
There's also some Chuck E. Cheese coins from the local establishments. good for trade, $1 in girls' whiskey and tobacco.
You know, it is, I guess, a case in point. We knew we had 50 saloons and gambling houses in downtown, and at highest count, 250 women that were paying taxes on their trade. So interesting that it's just part of the territorial fabric.
What is it that, you know, when you look back at the history of Globe, you had the trains, the mines, it was a thriving enough place to have 50 saloons and churches, and was thriving. Why did Globe stay the size it was and Tucson, for example, now a million people? What was it?
This area was very profitable in various resources. We've had gold mines, silver mines, and we're still doing well in copper. There's thorium and other things in the area. But specifically, it was a stock city. So there was several different lawyer firms here and a lot of different business firms that were buying and selling the stocks of the mines all over the state. The downtown had all of the miners and the business associated to miners, but it was also a rather affluent, like, banker class community.
We're also introduced to Tom Thompson, a longtime attorney in the community who, when asked for an official title, offers up this.
Yeah. Great guy. Tom Thompson is my name. That's my title, great guy.
I started our conversation by asking him why he thinks Globe has stayed about the size it is and not grown into a larger city.
Very little bit of property that you can actually own here. Mostly, the whole county is mostly either mines, tribes own much of it. There's very little in Gila County that's private enterprise. Even though Phoenix ultimately became the place for everything, here's where it really was at. I came here in 1973. And when I did, I went to work for a law firm called Morris & Millott. It, at that time, was the oldest law firm in the state of Arizona. It was opened in 1912. They worked for the mines. That's all they did. They didn't do anything else. They had a suite of offices in Washington, D.C. This was a very powerful place because a lot of money was spent on doing things in Congress to help the mines. That's why this place was as important as it was at the time. And even today, now they don't have the center of the legal community for the mines here. They have them in Phoenix, Tucson, across the country. So that's why it has stayed the way it is. It's actually probably a little bit smaller now than it was way back in the 20s and the 30s.
But we did see, as we were coming into town, we saw there's a relatively new Holiday Inn Express. There's the Best Western that's been there for as long as I can remember driving through. So there are reasons for people to come.
Yes. We have a building downtown here that a friend of mine who's a lawyer down in Phoenix has just purchased that building. And he said, I want to get away from Phoenix. I want to come up here and I want to be able to walk over. He was so impressed to be able to walk over to the movie theater. I mean, he is so excited about coming up here. And I see a lot more of that, people who want to get away from the large cities. So that's what you look for now is making a community that is different. You'll still have some of the small ones that are successful, but generally speaking, you're looking at different ways to skin that cat now and make people happy.
You're listening to The Buzz. I'm Christopher Conover. We're taking a walking tour of Globe, Arizona as part of our trip up the Copper Corridor this week. Showing us around town is Molly Cornwell, manager of the Globe Downtown Association.
All right, we continue our tour.
As we're walking by the original Woolworth, that Globe refused to let the Woolworth Company close, so they left it open until the very last on this side of the Rockies. So people came here from everywhere for Woolworth nostalgia. This was JCPenney's here. Sears was that brick building there. Fully operational, everything you could think of, Sprouse Rights and all the drugstores, this whole area was bustling, heavily bustling. And at one point it did have all the street lights, and we actually took those back out In the name of repair and nostalgia, and of course they tested to make sure it was okay.
Right.
But to come back to a stop sign town, it just gives it a more authentic feel, like it was back in the day.
Our next stop is Hollis Cinemas. The four-screen movie theater is one of the newer buildings in downtown. It sits on ground that used to be another theater and a hotel, but those burned in a 2005 fire. While the theater is relatively new, the family that owns it is not new to Globe or the industry. Bob Hollis's dad moved the family to Globe in the 1950s so they could run two Fox movie houses, including the one that burned down. They also ran the city's drive-in before it closed. They were also the previous owners of theaters in Safford and Morenci before selling them to an independent theater owner out of New Mexico.
Thank you.
As we head up the stairs, we meet Bob's boxer puppy.
Oh, yeah, big tough guy.
Before heading into his office.
Hi.
Bob Hollis.
Christopher Conover.
Chris.
Nice to meet you.
I start by asking him about how he made it through a recent event that put a number of movie theaters out of business, the COVID-19 pandemic.
We did survive. It was tough. I mean, we were closed for a long time. The Save Our Venue grant. So it saved a lot of theaters. And it's still having a hard time coming back. It's still not to where it used to be. I don't know if it's ever going to come back. Total. You know, that's, I just have different views on what's going on with Hollywood right now. And
yeah, Hollywood right now with the two strikes, that's a whole nother set of disasters.
That's one set of disasters. And then if Hollywood could stay out of politics, I think it would come back.
You've grown up largely in Globe. How has Globe changed from a town that had two movie theaters to now?
You know, there's not a lot has changed. It really hasn't. Globe is still a small town. I think you're going to call it quaint, right? It is a quaint small town. We're trying to grow. We have some opportunity now. So hopefully within the next few years, we are going to see some more growth. And I think with more people coming into Arizona, I think we will.
Do you do just the big first run movies, or do you ever do like the Globe Movie Fest, because there were movies filmed in the area back in the day?
There was quite a few of them filmed here, actually. In fact, when you leave, you'll see a couple posters up on the wall. We do all first run movies for the most part. We do some smaller stuff that when we get a chance to come through. But my film buyers, I've been using the same guys for 25 years, at least. We can get pretty much anything we want, and we pretty much all pay the same percentage. You know, if you're Danny Harkins or AMC or Regal, or the film percentage is the same. It's all based off of a percentage of the ticket sales. That's why when you go in movie theaters, soft drinks and popcorn are crazy priced.
Well, there's nothing like movie theater popcorn.
It is. But it is the truth. There is nothing like it. You know, I mean, I can make it at home, and it's just not the same.
We literally, from one end of town to the other, we close for Halloween, and we do a block party. I swear they bus people in from other states. I don't know. We could easily have 10,000 people.
It's absolutely amazing.
Crazy. And they bag little bags of popcorn. You know, it's everybody gives something that, you know, the dentist gives out toothbrushes, and, you know, and then tons of candy, of course.
This past Halloween, we do sandwich bags, Ziploc sandwich bags full of popcorn. We did 2,600 this year.
That's a lot of popcorn.
In a 2-hour period.
That's even more popcorn.
Okay, well, 2 hours, two and a half, 3 hours is what the trick-or-treating downtown event lasts usually. And they're lined. I mean, it's just the whole town shut down, and it's an amazing event.
When people think of small and rural movie theaters, I think they think of those old Fox theaters, you know, very quaint and stuff. You all, if you're showing the new stuff, I see you have a thing on your desk for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
The equipment is expensive. How often do you have to upgrade the equipment to show what Hollywood is pumping out? Because they're making films that look better and better, and probably soon they're not even going to be film.
We upgrade all the time. And that's the thing. 35 millimeter, when there was 35 millimeter, if you took care of them, you know, you change the gears, you keep the oil changed in them, they'd run forever. I'm talking 30, 35, 40 years. Now everything's digital. Yeah, it's about every 10 to 12 years you're gonna, and that's getting to the problem with some of the smaller communities. You're looking at $100,000 for a projector, you know, depending on the size of the auditorium. Some of them are more, some of them are a little less, but for the whole setup you're looking at around $100,000. And if you have to change that out every 10 to 12 years, it gets pretty expensive. And that's what's happened to a lot of the smaller areas where theaters have closed. They can't afford, that's my drive-in was a good example. I couldn't afford to convert it to digital and still make a profit.
What about employees? I worked in a movie theater long ago and far away. I was one of the oldest employees. I was in college, I was 20. You know, other than the manager, movie theaters are always kids, small towns. We've been to other towns in the Copper Corridor, and they said, we don't have families, we don't have a lot of kids. How do you do employee-wise?
It's hard. My sister does a great job with running employees. It doesn't matter if you're in the theater industry or if you're working at the mines or the hospital or the schools, it's hard to find employees. Most of my employees, like you saw the ones that are here down here, these are kids. Or they're people that have second jobs. You know, I've had teachers that work for me. I've had people that work at the county as a second job, come work in the evenings.
Because, sure, movies are on at night.
The movies are on in the evening. And, you know, in the old days, a family could get by with, you know, the father working and the mother taking care of raising the kids and working one job. That's not the case anymore. You can't do that.
That was Bob Hollis, owner of Hollis Cinemas in downtown Globe. And that's The Buzz for this week. You can find all our episodes online at azpm.org and subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcast. Just search for The Buzz Arizona. We're also on the NPR app. Zach Ziegler is our producer with production help from Desiree Tucker. Our music is by Enter the Haggis. I'm Christopher Conover. Thanks for listening.
Arizona Public Media's original programming is made possible in part by the Community Service Grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.